I began yesterday to teach and to express to the house the importance of holiness and righteousness as the core point in the will of God for our lives. And I found out that nothing is more important to God than for you to be like God. Nothing. However else you may want to express your Christianity and spiritual commitment, the end product must tell us who your Father is. Your Father cannot be God, and you are not godly. Your Father cannot be righteous, and you are not righteous. The burden that we carry today as Christians is not any less than the demand for the person who says he's a Christian to be like Christ. That's the minimum. We ask for nothing more. And when you don't resemble your claim, we are supposed to doubt your paternity. And that doubt is there on the table for everyone. That doubt. I am old enough by my biological age and by my Christian experience since 1972. I gave my life to Christ in 1972, and I've not backslided for a day since then. Nothing in this country has happened in Christianity behind me. Nothing. Not anything modern. So when you say you are a Christian, and we are struggling with the definition, because of the way you are acting it out, then we doubt your paternity. Your self-acclaim and profession will no longer be enough for us to define who you are, because you are not acting it. And the baseline is righteousness and holiness. The reason why heaven is heaven is because of the life there. If the life there is the one like the one here, that will not be heaven. And it comes down to the holiness and the degree of righteousness as practiced in the place. The eternity of God and the eternity and the longevity that we now put in eternity time, eternity. The reason why God lives in eternity time is because of his holiness. If the quantum of righteousness in God, it's not in the sense of an absolute holiness. The level of unrighteousness in God will cut short the eternity concept of God. We will cut it by the level of impurity. And I found out that the things that are dirty in this world don't last. The eternity of God is because of his holiness. And our own eternity, when we get there, will also be based on the same factor. The dirtiest country in this world is Chad. Chad also has the lowest life expectancy. People die in Chad at 52. Life expectancy in Chad is 52. The neatest country in the world, Monaco,
also have
the longest life expectancy. If you don't know Bible, no science. You have to know something. Excuse me. If you don't know Bible, Google. The deadliest country in this world is Chad. Life expectancy in Chad is the lowest in the world, is 52. The neatest countries have the longest life expectancy. The eternity that we say God is eternal is because of his holiness. The longest animals in this world that live longest, they are in the sea. The blue sea whale. Blue sea whale will live for 200 years because it washes itself every day. There is even the one the researchers have yet to tell us how old. We call that one immortal jellyfish. Immortal jellyfish, researchers have been trying to find out how old immortal jellyfish is. Nobody knows because the researcher will be working on it and die. And then the immortal jellyfish continue. Then somebody else take over the research and die. Immortal jellyfish continue. The reason why they call it immortal jellyfish, I've warned you, if you don't know Bible, no science. That one is in your hand. Immortal jellyfish, when you live here, immortal jellyfish, the reason they call it immortal jellyfish is because it's feeling that it is aging, it will go to the floor of the sea and break itself into small pieces and wash the pieces, and then glue it together and return to the surface as a virgin. So whoever was conducting a research on immortal jellyfish, you just discovered at a point you didn't see it again, but you go to the floor of the sea and find the particles there. They've been able to tag the DNA and be able to fix the property so you can locate it wherever it is. So you found it on the floor of the sea, and it has broken itself into small pieces, and it is washing itself, cleaning itself up. When it has finished doing that, it puts itself back together again and become a virgin, and it reruns the life. The purest things in this world live longest. If there is no heaven, be pure. For whatever it is worth. The copper wire is the one that NEPA used to conduct electricity. And the purity of it shows when it is conducting electricity. When it is conducting electricity and it has impurities, amagbono. As it conducts electricity, it will be getting, you touch the wire, it's getting hot because the impurities will be obstructing the movement of electrons. I've told you, if you don't know Bible, no science. You see, if it is in the learning, they will clap for me. No, don't worry. Don't worry. I know that I'm in the bathroom here. I'm okay. I'm at home here. The impurities in copper wire impedes the movement of electrons, and because of the difficulty in the electrons moving through the wire, the wire begins to get hot. And sometimes it combusts and explodes into a fire accident. Impurities cause accidents. If you don't want to go to heaven, don't mind. If you want to live long here, be pure. You don't have to go to heaven. The eagle flies highest. The eagle does not fly. The eagle soars. It can handle storm. It can get to the highest level. The eagle has the sharpest vision of all birds that fly. The eagle can sight his prey 25 miles in the sky and go at 100 miles per hour to get at it. And when the eagle fly, it doesn't look here and look there. Stay focused. The eagle lives longest of the birds. The eagle lives longest of the birds, is the strongest of the birds. An eagle can carry a goat 20 times his body weight and fly away with it. And the characteristics of the eagle that gives it that strength, again, that longevity, the eagle does not mate with two partners in his lifetime. The eagle is the only animal that is monogamous in this world. Throughout its lifespan, it doesn't change partners. It doesn't mate with different types of eagle. The only one he mate with first time is the one he will keep with till he die. God rebuked Ephraim and said, Ephraim have wasted. He said, women have devoured her strength. You see, the eagle keeps, and the eagle doesn't read the Bible. The eagle does not lay egg in two nests throughout its lifetime. Only one nest. And it will keep to that nest throughout its lifetime. It doesn't lay egg here, then go and lay egg there, and then be going about. Like God rebuked Ephraim and said, Ephraim, your strength has been devoured by women. A lot of eagles eat only white flesh. When the flesh is not white, you will not eat it. There are eagles whose belly is full of white feathers. They eat only fish and snakes. They are so disciplined. They are so neat. Their morality ranks the highest among human beings, even beyond man. An eagle does not commit adultery. An eagle does not commit fornication. He doesn't sleep with another eagle. He keeps to one partner for a lifetime. Excuse me, sir. Eagle. And therefore, it lives longest of all the birds. If you don't know Bible, know. You have to know something. You have to know something. Your inability to believe God at the end of the day, Amajareyi tori ma so fun pe wo scientist lemi na mo de so fun. What do you know that we don't know? One more time, may you live long. Now, I don't know a Christian who does not want to live long. So for that alone, you can take the preliminaries of my message to you this evening on secret of longevity and eternity. When Jesus says you have eternal life, the eternal life is based on the purity that God has. What makes God eternal is his purity. And if you are going to have eternal life and live long, be pure. Pure things last. I pray that you will live a pure life, a neat life, a life not congested with issues, a life not congested with unresolved issues, a simple life. Keep to a single partner. Be an eagle brother. And when you have become an eagle brother, sister, what do you become? Be an eagle sister. Raise your hand and say, yes. Is Say, today I become an eagle brother. I'll be an eagle sister. I will soar. I will live long. I will be strong. Shout yes! That said, Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6 that when we pray, we should say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, and I could be on this for the rest of the evening, is what sets you apart. You ask for. There's a way I see the others. There's a way I see you. But thou. This what sets you apart. But thou. When thou pray, enter into a closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I need to asterisk and underline and emphasize and highlight the fact that our prayer must not carry a content of vanity. That is, nothing what you are saying must be vain. Particularly when the name of the Lord is implicated, it's one of the Ten Commandments. So, thou shalt not call the name of the Lord your God in vain. When the name of Jesus is involved, it cannot be in vain. Something must come out of it. Be a fanatical believer in the fact that the name of Jesus is a producer. That when the name of Jesus is applied to a matter, it cannot be in vain. It cannot be in vain. Make no vain repetition. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. This is our takeoff point. You are in the earth, but you are taking off with a reference that has the beacons set out in heaven. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is about you and a Father in heaven. And when that relationship is not there, we will have to talk and talk and talk and negotiate and negotiate and beg and beg and beg. And things that ought to come to you as of right because of you are the Son of the Father will now have to be negotiated on the account of grace. When it is between you and your Father, there's no grace involved. No, Edo, Mio Kukuni Wabi, Mo, Edo Koyema Womi. Be looking at me like St. Luke. Sherry, It is not by grace that your son collects school fees from you. It's not by grace that your son, that you as a mother, breastfeed your baby. Your baby does not suck your milk by grace. If it is somebody else that doesn't know you and is begging for money, that one can go to him by grace. If you like, you give him. If you don't like, you don't give him. But the relationship, the reason why some of our prayers become so tedious to access is because of the questionable relationship between you and God. And people have thrown grace at you as an issue. And you bought into it because you yourself don't even know where grace ends in matters of relationship. Wives who are here, is it by grace you collect soup money from your husband? Hey, down, eti pada leyin mi. Olorun, k'Olorun ma pada leyin mi o, Olorun. K'Olorun jo ko ma pada leyin mi o. Olorun o ni pada leyin mi o. I'm asking you, is it by grace that you as a wife collect money to go to market from your husband? Is it by grace? Is it by grace that your baby that you just born breastfeed? Is it by grace that that baby collect milk from you? Is it by grace? I don't know why you look shocked. Where negotiations now have to come in, we are to query the relationship. The pressure upon every one of you in this meeting is to improve your relationship with God. That's the basis. In fact, when you have improved on it, prayer, fasting, vigil will reduce. Thank you. I'm in the Lord now. What did you read in verse, is it 7 or 8, where he says, make no vain reputation. He said, because your heavenly Father already knows what you do. Proper children, if they are, when they are, you ask them, when are you resuming school? He said, I'm resuming school next Monday. Say, okay. What is the school fees now? He tells you. You say, I hear. That's where it ends. If during resumption, the son has to be begging your friends in Ibadan to come and speak to you. Then we are to query where? If we are not even querying the paternity, but you know that certain people in 1 Corinthians, Paul will say, except that you are bastards. You know, we may not actually query your paternity genetically, but we can query your paternity behaviorally. When you look at the way this one is behaving, you say, this one, no be me born now. I tell you, this one, no be me born now. I've seen a father tell the son, he said, when they ask you of your father, call another person's name. Because of the way you are doing. I've seen a father tell the son, the next thing, the time they catch you and carry you to police A division and they ask of your father, don't call my name. He said, when you pray, say, our Father. Prayer is based on. And when that relationship has problem, that's where you have to beg and beg and beg. I'm not preaching against prayer. That's not the issue. But there are things that come to you as of right. Not by grace. Because of your position. The way you pray, he said, your Father in heaven knows these things that you need. So, now, if you have two friends, and one came to you to tell you as a young person and say, you see, this is your father, Dangote. Your father is rich. Your father is powerful. Your father is this. Your father is that. I want to teach you how to get things from him. Do his will. Obey him. Before they break, wash the car. Clean the house. Cut grass in the yard. Mow the grass. Be the one to wake up first and ring prayer bell in the parlor. Wake everybody. Go and wake up your sisters and brothers. It's prayer time. If your father travels, he leaves the house with you. You take care of the house till he comes. That if you do that, it will be easier to get things from your father. Then another person come and say, I want to teach you how to get things from your father. 7 buttons of success. Bind the devil. Then, Ogun Idileya. Brother. Father's house enemy. Ban them. Do 1 month vigil to get something from your father. Now, if I were to advise you, I say that one. Go send you a logo in delay. Go send you a logo in delay. We all have enemy of father's house, enemy of mother's house. We all have. Even as I'm a pastor, I get them fool our village. I will advise you that the one that told you that do things that please your father. Jesus had not done miracle. Jesus had not healed. Jesus had not even started teaching. When a voice came and said, this is my well-beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And how did he merit that? He had not started ministry. Whenever daddy was going to carpenter shop, go and hold the stick for him. Hold the stick for him. As he's doing so, hold the stick for him. Jesus had not yet been proclaimed or known to be a minister of God. All he was still doing was to be his father's son. Nothing. And yet a voice was saying, this my son in whom I'm well pleased. He has not started ministry. And God is saying, this my son in whom I'm well pleased. It's down to the kind of domestic life he was living as a child. Then he said, verse 10, where I stop? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is where we are coming. The will. Wills are so powerful. Wills. Wills walk beyond the death of the person writing his will. Will overshadows law. Will overshadows the violent. If you have one of the children who is a cultist, who is a ruffian, who is a vagabond, and you just do anything about just when the father dies, they can do anything, scatter the whole house. They bring the will. Will calms him down, or he goes to jail. Will tell us how does the father want his goods to be distributed? Will is beyond the law. Will is beyond the government. Will. That's why people are encouraged. Write your will. When the man dies, you cannot negotiate what he has written was his will. That is will. His will is enforced. And right here in the house tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a will from heaven. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, and they're thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. He said, I will above all things that your soul prosper, even as your body prosper. There is a will, and I'm here to enforce it. Did you hear me? There is a will. Wills are not negotiated. There are lawyers among you. You know the power of will. When a man dies, even before he dies, if he writes his will, that's his will. His will is his rule on his property. And God is saying that the way he wants this place to run is that his will, his will be done in your life. As it is done in heaven. There is a way heaven runs. And it runs by his will. And he's saying that's the way he wants your life to run. There is no room for negotiation. There's no room for a devious character. There is no room for a different opinion. There is no room here tonight. There is no room here tonight. As God designed that your way will run, that's the way it will run. In heaven, there's no blind person there. And if we're saying that his will as it is done in heaven should be there, then there will be no blind person here. In heaven, there's no sick person there. If we go by that template, no sickness will be allowed here. In heaven, there are no poor people there. There are no failures and never do well. And if by that order, the will is here in the house, we are to key into the will. And I say to you that the will of God, what God has said, what God has designed, the way God wants your life to run, you are not going to run your life by another person's syllabus. You will run your life according to divine will. You will not be a failure. You will not be a non-entity. You will not be sick. If you are sick, it's not the will of God. We will enforce the will of God for your well-being. Raise your hand and shout amen. Amen. Brother Adebara was here yesterday. We were in his church. And he invited me for a revival. I was glad to come. And we did a mantle service. I asked everybody to bring handkerchief. According to Acts chapter 19, verse 11, whatever is not in the Bible, you will not find me there. So they brought handkerchief, every one of them. And I prayed on it. Come and see wonders. A woman, the car knocked. And the mechanic went to look at the car and said, the car is not. We need a towing vehicle. He said, wait for me. She spread the handkerchief on the car and told the mechanic to kick it. The mechanic kicked it, the car answered. When next you see Pastor Adebara, he was here yesterday, you can ask him. His church is called Fountain of Grace. It's somewhere there. Then a certain member was pregnant and ready to born. And the baby lie across like this. What do you call that one? It lie like this. And the baby fell, and the mother fell into labor and cannot born because the baby was lying across like this. So they carried the woman to UCH. And they were going to do CS to bring the baby out. They had put the woman on the operation table in the theater. They put a garment on her, and the matron, the nurses were assembling the scissors, the blade, the knife, the suturing tools. They were assembling those things on the table in front of her. And she remembered that, oh, there is a mantle of prayer. And when she was coming to UCH, she carried the handkerchief. So she said, please open that bag and bring it. Matron, continue to do what you are doing. Somebody should say, Satan is in trouble here today. Say, bring that handkerchief. And they brought the handkerchief. The woman spread the handkerchief on top of her tummy. The baby turned warm and jumped out of the bath canal. She brought the baby to church in the presence of people. The most amazing part of this testimony was the fact that when the baby jumped out, the baby held the hand of the matron. A tiny hand. Jacob. Go to UCH and ask. The nurse and left the scissors, left the blade, left and ran out of the theater. I went to call the doctor that, look, don't worry to come. The baby is alive. The baby held my hand. The baby is, as he is saying, leave my mother. When Jesus was in a place and things were happening and people were saying, we have seen strange things. This night, you will see strange things. We were in Samanda. We were in a lighthouse. Lighthouse is the name of the church you are trying to remember, Pastor. Pastor Adulogu's church, Lighthouse. We were there. And one woman came and went to Nike, your staff, and said, the way this service is going, I know God will bless me here. I need a baby. But I don't have womb. Then Nike said, you don't have womb. She said, yes, I don't have womb. And you say you need a baby. Then the woman said, there's nothing God cannot do. Then Nike said, in that case, come. We have our father here. This one passed me. Say, come. And brought the woman. And the woman came and said, sir, I need a baby, but I don't have womb. It's not that I don't have womb like that. I was pregnant before. But the baby died inside my womb. And they did not bring out the baby on time. So the baby started to decay before they brought the baby out. So at the time they were suturing the womb, the muscles were tearing. Benga Kotila described, Benga, stand up, let them see you, because you saw it all. Benga Kotila said, Olo yabi owu, bi egbo owu. Some of you who had been in the village to see wool, he said, the muscle, the womb was tearing like wool. So the doctor called the husband and said, come and see. We will have to take the womb out. Then the man said, I have lost the baby. I don't want to lose my wife, bring the womb out. So they brought the womb out. So she told me, say, it's not that she didn't have a womb before. She used to have, but something happened, she lost it. But I need a child. I said, but you don't have a womb. He said, sir, there's nothing God cannot do. When your faith goes forward, miracle follows. Then I prayed for her. The prayer was so easy because she had said it all. She said, there is nothing God can do. Am I the one that will say this one is too hard for God? She has said it herself. She said, there is nothing God cannot do. I was in a lorry over 1 year after When Pastor Adulodju came, Pastor Adulodju, stand up, let them see you. I'm not giving a testimony out of town. I told you about what happened in Egbe in 1984. You don't know Egbe, but you must know Adulodju. Her church is in Samanda, Lighthouse. So I'm not giving a testimony you cannot find out, you cannot relate with. They are there. 1 year after, Adulodju came to me in Lorient and said, "Sir, that the woman had come to church with twins. He's here." A boy and a girl. Her own mouth said it, that there is nothing. And the will of God is be fruitful and multiply. That's the best line. So I ordered it. You can't negotiate that. Simply brought the order and the will of God and placed it on the case. The will of God must prevail. As we are here tonight, the will of God must prevail. Yeah. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? There are no weak people in heaven. There are no sick people in heaven. There are no blind people in heaven. There are no poor people in heaven. There are no failed fellows in heaven. There are no people in heaven who didn't make it. Poor as Lazarus was, he made it to heaven. You are going to make it as well. Yeah. Tell yourself, I'm making it. I am going to make it. Nothing is going to stop me. Because there is nothing God cannot do. It will become all the more interesting and collapse all our sciences and disgrace the books. When and if the doctor who brought out the womb is also the one that took delivery of the twins, that takes away the science. That disabuses all sciences. I am praying for somebody here tonight that the sciences against you will be overruled. The will of God will overrule the science against you. The will of God will overrule the science against you. The will of God will overrule the science against you. The will of God will overrule the charm they made. The will of God will overrule the medicine they are making. The will of God will overrule the witchcraft. All the witchcraft against you, the will of God overrule it. All the charms they are throwing at you, the will of God overrule it. You stand up and let us pray. You will shout Jesus. The same way that blind Bartimaeus screamed Jesus. And the reason you are going to do that is because you are trying to establish a fact that there is nothing God can do. Teba mo eso. Do you know anything God cannot do? We have seen dead people who are dead. We call them, they came back. Stone dead, stiff. I've recited the Ibadan miracles to you, not Ilorin. If you come along in the drive, there is nothing God. It will work out. Yeah. Is there a thing you know that God cannot do? does not exist. In this house tonight, the will of God will overrule your liabilities. Blind Bartimaeus had a principle to getting answered. He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." That's what we're going to do. I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There is nothing. Nobody has ever said, "Have mercy on me," and God did not do it. No matter how terrible that person is. Because if God will be showing you mercy, there are many things he will overlook. May God show you mercy. David said, "If thou will mark iniquity, who will stand?" If it is mercy God will use to visit you tonight, I tell you, he will overlook so many things. Mercy will say no. Did you hear me? Those of you who are on your way to prison, mercy say no. Those of you who's catching a disease, a terminal disease, mercy say no. In the next few minutes, cancer cells will dry up. In the next few minutes, tumor will dry up. Cancer, tumor, hear me. You have only a few seconds more in that place, and you have to go. You have to go. You have to go. The time for you to go has come. Cancer, wherever you are, brain tumor, wherever you are, bone disease, wherever you are, you have only a few seconds more to stay, and then I order you out of the place. And when I tell you to go, you have to go. 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 The time for you to go has come, because the will of God will overrule. Everybody say, Jesus! Have mercy on me.